Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I know I'm striking some nerves with some folks because I'm getting a heck of a lot of feedback regarding Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And so it seems to me like I need to dive into the Congressional Globe just to confirm, because a lot of people are coming back to me. And I've gone through the Congressional Globe before on the 14th Amendment. Nowhere do I remember them stipulating that the declaration of war had to be called for somebody to be considered giving aid and comfort to an enemy. Why is this important? Because most people think that treason and those types of things can only be done when we are in a declared war. And that's a huge misnomer. During George Washington's farewell address, he identified that we had enemies. I mean, here's the President of the United States stating that we had enemies and that and we spy on our enemies. And he stated that these enemies wanted to destroy us. Some of them are internal and some of them are external. There's nowhere in other than the fact that Congress started becoming, and I'll just use the term mealy-mouthed, but Congress started going down this path of saying, oh, well, we have to have a declared war with a person or a country for them to become a declared enemy. Clearly, anybody who is deliberately violating the law, deliberately undermining us, and somebody is supporting those people who are violating our laws and or subverting us and literally taking away, and I'm going to use literally a lot today because we're going to be going through these government agencies who are doing things that they literally should not be doing, and you're going to understand what they are literally doing. And this is going to blow you away. But when we have individuals who have taken an oath to support and defend the Constitution and are doing things that are directly undermining and giving aid and comfort to those who are in act violation, currently in the act of violating our Constitution, I consider that person giving aid and comfort to the enemy of our Constitution. Enemies of our Constitution are those who do not want to follow it and want to get rid of it. And people that are coming here and obtaining the ability to vote without having to become a true citizen, meaning that they are subject to jurisdiction of another nation and violating our immigration policies and standards, and that the fact that these folks in office who are taking pledges are giving these folks access to voting as well as giving them sanctuary as well as all of these other things, then as far as I'm concerned, they are violating that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment because they are giving aid and comfort to an enemy of the Constitution. Clearly, this wasn't said that Congress had the utmost in determining who was qualified and who would be subjected to these bans. This amendment only says that for a ban to be lifted, regardless of what level it has been placed upon somebody, because they understood that there were people, that's why they listed state legislators and state offices who are under oath. I mean, they go down, that's why this amendment is hard for people to, or this part of this amendment is hard for people to understand, because it meanders down all of these different levels that anybody, as a matter of fact, why am I even playing around with it? Let me just pull it up and I will read it one more time and then we'll get into the obligatory, because this is really important. And I really have been enjoying the dialogue with people, because people are going, huh, well, you know, I didn't know that. I'm just kind of following what I understand as, you know, the laws, international laws and so forth. No, 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 no. You got to remember that the Tory Acts actually made it illegal for loyalists to stay here. They lost all their property and they were deported. Now, were they enemies at that point in time? The war was over. We had declared a treaty and we were not at war with Britain. And clearly we were getting rid of and sending people out. That seems to me like we don't. And like I said, Washington, I'll even go into Aaron Burr. When Aaron Burr was tried for treason, who were we at war with? Who was the enemy? There you go. And so I think people have completely lost sight of, and they're trying to live on this legalese that Congress and lawyers have placed to allow enemies to gain leverage and to have influence and impact us in a negative way. And why are people defending that? Because they are participating in this. So this is what it says. No person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president or vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or a member of any state legislature or as an executive or to support the Constitution. They're saying that anybody that's a public servant that has to take an oath to the Constitution, there's no way Congress can determine whether some, you know, we got 50 states, we got lots of counties, we got county commissioners, we got city council, we have lots of people that are taking oaths to support the Constitution. And there are people down at the lowest level who are creating sanctuary cities, and they should be removed from office. They are no longer eligible because they are giving aid and comfort to those who are deliberately violating the Constitution. Come on. This is not rocket science. And so that's why I said I'm going to dig into the digital, or not the digital globe, the congressional globe, because that's where you'll find the actual debates. Why is this important? Just like the ratification debates are equally important. This is when they defined the meaning of this clause in the contract and what they were saying, this is what this means. That's what we have to go by. And that's what the ratification debates go by. I don't think it is going to be much, though, for the states to actually build upon this and start stating the case that they have the ability to start determining who are the true enemies of the Constitution, because they're supposed to be our stalwart, the vigilant guard against federal tyranny. So, as I always tell you, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. You thought I was forgetting, didn't you? And RepublicReview.org. No, no, no. I can't do the things that I'm I cannot not do the things that I'm obligated to do. You are listening to the only show that will provide you insights and will discuss the solutions and the merits and the background to all of this stuff. So the number to call in is 215-867-8255. That's today's number. And or you can call in the 215-TOP-TALK number. Okay. I will let you know when I have completed the migration. So forgive me. I still haven't done that yet. So if you do try to call and I don't see it, I don't get you or what have you. If you do get in though, 9 times out of 10, the best way you'll know whether you've dialed and gotten in is that you're actually able to leave a message, and supposedly that's supposed to splash up. And I usually see those things. Very rarely do I look at the log after the show and find, oh, somebody called. And then I call them back and I go, hey, you called. And actually, I have to tell you this. I got butt dialed once. There was somebody that called, and when the phone started ringing, they realized that because they called a previous host that day on Red State Talk Radio, and I forget who the host was that they called, but they butt dialed me, and I called them back, and they go, wow, I can't believe you called me back. And I go, well, if you tried to call to get a hold of me, I did not want to leave you out there hanging. And so I have a special phone number that I use to calling people, because it's a number that doesn't ring on me. It's just something I use. Anywho, So I am pretty vigilant in trying to make sure that if somebody did call and I missed their call, that I at least call you back and apologize, because I do want to get you into the show, especially if we can, if I'm not running down a dialogue like I always am. So forgive me if I haven't gotten the phone systems, but I will get to it. It just seems like my life is on permanent auto interrupt, if you understand what I'm saying. But let me get into the groveling, because I do have some groveling requirements for you. And one of those is, if you want to support us, you can hit us up and throw some love and money to us via our crowdfunding GoFundMe. You can also support by doing some research, getting involved, making phone calls, using resources that you already have. If you're computer savvy, then I can, you know, get you into doing some, you know, research for yourself. This is helping you lead in your state and county. Send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Or I highly recommend that you get online, go to constitutionclub.ning.com, sign up with Keith Broders and his organization, and getting involved in sending emails out to state legislators and other sovereigns who need to hear from people like you, to demanding that they start standing up to federal tyranny. And or in specific, what Keith is, I believe, doing is getting people to demand that the states rescind the 17th Amendment. I'm at a hard break, so when we come back, I am going to kind of close out on, you know, this gearing up. Thank you for tuning in. Please stay tuned. I've got the government agencies that we're going to run down your throat for this show. You're going to love it. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so just as we were getting hit by the break, I was thanking you for tuning in. I do appreciate the fact that we have you as a listener base, and the fact that you are out there ardently trying to get people to understand that there is information that they need to know about, and that they need to listen to this program. So thank you so much. I humbly recognize what you are doing as those who are listening and feeding upon this information. I thank you so much. Anyway, as I always do, there is no sign of the federal government disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. And even more importantly, if we do not get involved in standing up to federal tyranny in our states and getting our states to take action, then we are going to be literally thrown under the bus. Now, I know that there's all sorts of, you know, things that are breaking, you know, like Trump is going to get the money for the wall and stuff. We'll get into that because those stories don't go anywhere. They're really a part of the distraction, right? I mean, the wall's not going to be built in a day, but we can tear down the unconstitutional republic and all these unconstitutional powers that they've usurped a lot faster than they put them up. And you'll be surprised. I mean, because even though Rome wasn't built in a day, the walls can come down a lot faster, right? So if you understand, and I'm not playing on the metaphor, I want to bring, you know, Trump's wall down. What I want to do is I want to get you motivated so that we can start disassembling the thing that is killing us, the thing that is destroying us. If we only go after those little pet peeve issues, the myopic issues of abortion, immigration, Obamacare, the problem du jour, then we'll never beat this monster, and it'll continue to throw more and more. It's getting ready to establish a Department of Babysitting. They're already positioning themselves in several states. We can get into this a little later. Believe me, it is coming down the pike. They are considering, not even considering, they believe that your children are their property, that they should have control over your kids, because all you're doing is pumping your religious dogma and your conservative values down their throat, and that's not good for what they need to do. It is contradictory to the things that they want to do. So with that, I'm going to hopefully prod you today as we go into the scope and magnitude of what the federal government is doing and what they shouldn't be doing. And so what you can do, and you can have access to this, and I'm going to pull up the 2018 list, but the website is usagov/federal-agencies. And from there, if you just do a Google federal agencies A to Z, you will find the full list. And if you pull up that list, and I know when you look at it, you'll have a hard time counting, but there are a total of 661 base agencies that they identify. 661. Now, 50 of these agencies, and actually a little more than that, are the states as well as the territories. Now, since when has a state become an agency for the federal government? Right? I mean, there's nowhere in the Constitution that the states have ever become an agency. And you'll find that if you just click on one, you know, and I'm going to click on Wyoming because, you know, I'm focused on Wyoming. And if I click on that, it will take me to that page, a primary contact information along these agencies. So it doesn't give you any information, but they're considering. And so when you start looking and you go to each of these agencies, it gives you a high level role that this agency is fulfilling. And so clearly they're not identifying the role that the states are playing. Maybe they don't want to tell you that. But I'm here to tell you that the states are not agencies, and the fact that the federal government thinks and treats them as if they are, that should bother a lot of people. I mean, seriously bother you. Now, if you go from the A to Z, and at the very top, there's this Ability One Commission. Now, remember, the federal government, I'll have to state this again because Madison stated this, the framer stated this in so many different ways and so eloquently during the ratification debates, that the federal government only has the jurisdiction and powers over those things that are enumerated in the Constitution. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the titles of some of these agencies and go, okay, is this in the role and responsibility of the federal government, okay? And so this Ability One Commission, here we go. And I'm just going to click on it because it's the first one at the top of the list. And what does the Ability One Commission do? Well, the Ability One Commission creates job opportunities for people who are blind or have other significant disabilities in the manufacture and delivery of products and services to the federal government. Well, that's a nice thing that the federal government is doing, but I can't believe I found that in the Constitution. Now, many people say, well, hey, you know, the ADA has been passed. The American Disabilities Act has been passed. Well, yeah, the American Disabilities Act applies to applies to the Washington, District of Washington, or Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia, right? Because an act only is applicable to where the Congress has exclusive legislation, and that is in the District of Columbia, which is a lot smaller than it was a long time ago because the Virginia side of the District of Columbia was taken back by the state of Virginia. So it's only that little Maryland quadrant, or actually a little triangle on the north side, that the District of Columbia still exists. And interestingly enough, they created this agency, but you know their reach of this has gone nationwide. They're out there, and they have no enumerated power in creating jobs, period. And they're out there creating jobs for people with significant disability. What about this one? Does the federal government have an enumerated power for community living? There's this Administration for Community Living. Okay, the Administration for Community Living supports the needs of the aging and disability populations and improves access healthcare, as they probably mean access to healthcare, and long-term services. Where is this enumerated in the Constitution for them to be doing this throughout the United States? Now, they have an administrative for Native Americans, Administrative Conference of the United States. I don't know what the heck that is, but what does the Administrative Conference for the United States do? Let me see here. I got to click on it, right? That's what we got to do. And so I'm just walking through this, folks. And so here we go. Because you can do this, but I want to actually start reading some of these agencies just to get some fire in your belly. The Administrative Conference of the United States is an independent federal agency dedicated to improving federal agency administrative processes and procedures. Okay, well, the name is kind of a misnomer, but if it's really something that is improving processes of the federal agencies, maybe that's just because they have way too many agencies in the get-go that maybe they shouldn't be doing this. Here's one that I like to talk about, and this is the Agricultural Marketing Service, okay? Nowhere in the Constitution, the Department of Agriculture is unconstitutional, and so nowhere in the Constitution is there an enumerated power that gives the federal government any exclusive roles, responsibilities, and powers over agriculture. But they have this thing called the Agricultural Marketing Service. And the Agricultural Marketing Service supports the fair marketing of U.S. agricultural products. Well, I guess that's kind of nice. And, you know, you would think, and I believe if you go down this thing, it will tell you if it is a parent. Yeah, so it shows you who the parent agency is. And the parent agency of this is the Marketing and Regulatory Programs. So there's a higher level agency, and it's called Marketing and Regulatory Programs. Marketing and Regulatory Programs manages the agricultural marketing and animal and planet health inspection service and the grain inspection, packers, and the stockyards administration. Where in the heck is this enumerated in the Constitution? Do you know of any point in time where we had a problem where the state said, you know what, let's amend the Constitution so that we can literally give you these powers to manage for us because, oh, we're so incompetent, we can't do it? Don't know, folks. this is just a little tip of the iceberg, right? We also have the Animal Planet and Health Inspection Service. Have you heard of them? Well, I've heard of the Animal and Planet. Animal Planet is a TV channel, but the Animal and Planet Health Inspection Service protects and promotes U.S. agricultural health, regulates genetically engineered organisms, administers the Animal Welfare Act. Are you kidding me? Animal Welfare Act? And manages wildlife damage. If you start to understand what is happening here, we're looking at government agencies, bureaucracies that are being given power to create regulations to rule us. And these are just, you know, we're still in the A's. And I'm going to try to jump forward. And so when we come back, I'll give you some other really eye-opening agencies that have no business to be in business. And that hopefully you'll recognize that we need to stand up. So we'll be right back after these promos. So please stay tuned. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So let me just jump down. And I'm doing this to hopefully get you to take a look at all of these agencies and administrations. And so there's lots of bureaus, right? There is the Bureau of Industry and Security, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the Bureau of Economic Analysis, Consumer Affairs, the Bureau of what? The Bureau of Prisons. Huh. Now, how many people are familiar with the Kentucky Resolution? Because clearly, Thomas Jefferson pointed out in the Kentucky Resolution that the federal government only had the jurisdiction over just a handful of crimes, right? It was treason. They had jurisdiction on treason. They had jurisdiction on counterfeiting. And then they had jurisdiction of crimes committed on the high seas and crimes committed against laws of nations. So why would they even have, because this whole thing, when they created the Sedition Acts, are you kidding me? These are states' powers. These are states' rights. You can't do this. And the only way you can do this is by amending the Constitution. This is Thomas Jefferson schooling them on this. And so the Bureau of Prisons manages federal prisons and community-based prisons that provide work and opportunities to assist offenders. Interesting. Now, one of the things you'll find on here is the Capitol Police. Now, I don't, just because it may not be enumerated in the Constitution doesn't mean that they can't do it, right? We have to understand also that they do have exclusive legislation for the District of Columbia, something I was struggling with just earlier. My point being is that the Capitol Police is a legitimate agency. The budget that they need in maintaining law enforcement and so forth, because they have the they're basically the city council, and they should be the city council. They're the exclusive legislators. The fact that the District of Columbia has a city council is unconstitutional. The only people who have legislative authority, because that's what a city council is, legislative authority for the city, the only people that have legislative authority per the Constitution for the District of Columbia is Congress. So they should be overseeing the legislation, the laws, and all of that. So come on, let's get them into doing their job, and instead of, you know, allowing more people to get onto the government dole, right? Here's a good one, because obviously chemicals are in the Constitution. It's an enumerated power, right? So what the heck is this Chemical Safety Board? Well, the Chemical Safety Board investigates industrial chemical accidents. Well, there you go. That's a huge usurpation. The states have that responsibility, and the states need to be doing that. The only reason that this agency exists is to create regulations, unaccountable bureaucracies that are creating regulations that are stifling corporate abilities to do good productive things. It should be left to the states to dictate that, period. It's just really that simple, folks. But there, here's another one that obviously we, you know, have to, you know, look real hard in the Constitution for: the Commission on Fine Arts. The U.S. Commission on Fine Arts advises the government on matters pertaining to the arts and to guide the architectural development of Washington. What? If there's somebody somewhere created, you know, you got to understand that Thomas Jefferson complained about the spoils system, where the federal government had these abilities to do things. And this one right here has the reeks and smacks of it was started over the architectural development of Washington, D.C., because technically they have exclusive authority and legislative powers over the District of Columbia. So they may have, you know, well, we have to, you know, make sure that all of our buildings look good enough for, you know, whatever, you know, we want to personify out of the structures of our building. Bottom line, here is an agency that is just wasting money. And the fact that they even have this agency is a part of the spoil systems. Period. It's just that simple. Sticking in the seas, they have, oh, of course, they're going to have a compliance office, and we know what that would be. But they also have a Congressional Research Service, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Interesting. Now, lots of people, I think, look at this as a good thing. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau helps consumers by providing educational materials and accepting complaints. It supervises banks, lenders, and large non-bank entities such as credit reporting agencies and debt collection agencies. The Bureau also works to make credit card, mortgage, and other loan disclosures clearer so consumers can understand their rights and responsibilities. Now, this is completely duplicative of what goes on in states, because states clearly have their own guidelines and so forth. You can't tell me that this bureau is of any value to the United States. Now, here's one. Here is one that, you know, people will go, huh? What is it? And most people don't have a problem in understanding, you know, the importance of this, but it's actually constitutional. It's the Copyright Office. The Copyright Office administers the national copyright system because that is an enumerated power within the Constitution. So when you look at some of these things, you go, wow, the federal government sure has its fingers in lots of little things. some of these things are actually constitutional because we have to have laws to protect our patents, copyrights, and so forth. We need that. But we also need to ensure that our copyrights on certain in certain domains are not necessarily being heavily guarded so that it becomes, I'm going to take a tangent here real quick. The point of compassionate service is to be compassionate, right? So pharmaceutical agencies have dived into the compassionate service of trying to heal people of their problems, and they've become a nefarious agency in creating addictions, you know, because it's starting to come out that some of these people knew that the opioids that they were developing were very addictive and that they, you know, kind of create this great profit model that they're going to be able to make a lot of money off of opioids because the more you consume the, you know, and that's all they cared about. So when they start protecting patents for pharmaceutical things, you know, you have to put a balance and you have to understand, well, what are you doing? Are you really trying to provide a compassionate service by healing this problem, this disease? Or are you trying to make money in the long run? Because if you're in the business of compassionate service for the whole point of profit, then you really need to reevaluate yourself and go get into something else. Because compassionate service and profits do not mix, as far as I'm concerned. And that's why it was always best for churches to do that. The problem is, and I've pointed this out, that churches in the early 1800s, the Christian churches, became profit-oriented when they went to the evangelical circuits and so forth. I mean, when a circus came to town, an evangelical tent came to town to heal everybody, they took their money and then they left. If all of a sudden bad luck befell upon the parishioners and the people that donated to this church, then what happens to them? Now that they need some assistance, the compassionate service that they've paid into, or I should say the donations and so forth, are gone. So now what do? They have to go and they have to go to their local parishioners, or not parishioners, but way leaders or administrators or what have you, and ask them for assistance and go, well, we didn't get any money out of that, you know, the troop that came in here, and you know, we're scrapping here. People did not understand the relationship of religion in the community and the importance of religion in the community and why it has an important role. And so that's one of the reasons why, as all of this competition started getting created, this free willing, you know, let me come in and take your money and go, people that were giving money to people like that were literally giving away their future compassionate services if they were going to need some. It's kind of like an insurance policy. You know, the best thing you can do is to make sure that you're constantly up on your tithes, offerings, or those types of things so that you never have to need that. But I'm here to tell you that when you look at the fact that that money is gone and now who do you go to? That's why the Christian churches basically point their finger up to Washington, D.C. and up to the government, you know, vicinages of the states or the capitals in the state to say, go there and get assistance because we don't have any money. Sorry. Now we have all of the departments in the section D of these government agencies. And many of these departments are unconstitutional. I've already kind of covered the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Commerce, even though the Commerce Clause that they're supposed to put in good order commerce, they're not supposed to regulate how a state does its commerce or what have you. It's only to make sure that the commerce being done in one state has an equal footing and an equal opportunity to be able to sell its products in all of the other states. So when the state of California started creating regulations on air quality and so forth, what they were doing was they were violating the Commerce Clause because they were dictating to manufacturers in a different state that you have to make a product to our compliance. No, you can't do that. And they were violating the Commerce Clause in doing so. So I'm at a hard break. So when we come back, I'm going to just try to go through another few high-level agencies that I think should actually get your ire. We'll be right back after this.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so remember, I told you that there were well over 660 of these agencies, and there are even smaller little offices and outshoots, and they're not even showing you the black programs that they have under their budget. The fact of the matter is they've got all sorts of these things that they are taking your tax dollars for and paying these agencies to regulate you out of business. The question is, do you really think that the federal government wants you to be doing these things? And more importantly, you know, that they're taking your tax. It's as I try to explain to people, these kids that are out there protesting that are on welfare, the leftists are using our own welfare state as a weapon against us, and they're taking your tax dollars to actually pay for this. Do you think this is a good idea that they have these people out there protesting to take away your liberties and rights, and you be the one underwriting and funding them to actually be doing this? Are you kidding me? What the heck is going on here? As I've said before, and this may be kind of a little crude, somebody has been pissing in our gene pool for the fact that we have been lulled into a sleep where we're unaware of what the heck is going on. So here's some agencies that I've kind of highlighted, because this is really the last segment. And I want you to go to USA.gov and look at the federal agencies. This is important. Everybody needs to go through these. Employee Benefits Security Administration, like they're going to start dictating what employee benefits need to be. Endangered Species Program, as nice and noble as this should be left to the states, period. Those are state resources. They're not national resources. Until it's in the Constitution, they have to butt out. The Environmental Management Office, this is where they can come down and throw all sorts of regulations and strangle your state's ability to create jobs. The Fair Housing and Equal Opportunity Office. Are you kidding? Now they're dictating how you can actually rent to somebody. That's a state's responsibility, not the federal government. You know Fannie Mae, right? Well, that's a non-government organization. Well, here it is on the USA government getting tax dollars. How is it non-governmental then? Okay, Farm Credit Administration. This goes back down to the whole agriculture and the fact that they've got the farmers on the dole. The farmers do not want to see this go away because they're dependent on this. And we've got to wean them so that we become self-sufficient, period. The problem is that agriculture around the world has been subsidized by government, and we need to get government out of it across the board. And so we need to actually start putting real measures against all of this agricultural products that are coming into America that are undermining our own farming and our own food production. Let me move on. The Federal Railroad Administration. Where is the railroad in the Constitution? Oh, here's this other non-governmental agency called Freddie Mac. They're receiving your tax dollars as a non-governmental agency. But here's a good one. Have you ever heard of Jeannie Mac? Probably haven't. Well, let me tell you what Jeannie Mac does. Jeannie Mac is a governmental national mortgage association, is a self-financing, wholly owned U.S. government corporation within the Department of Housing and Urban Development. It is the primary financing mechanism for all government-insured or government-guaranteed mortgages. So apparently the government is now supposed to be guaranteeing your mortgages for you. And this is just making me sick, and it should with you. Here's one, and all of these things have just, you know, crept, you know, out of the woodwork, things like this, and it's the Harry S. Truman Scholarship Foundation. Are you kidding? You know, I know that we need to be noble, but the federal government, the way they have the guns in taxing and so forth, we need to leave nobility to community and non-government, real, what do you want to call them, nonprofit and compassionate type of service agencies. Or you leave that to the philanthropists that want to do those things. But the federal government should be taking our dollars and giving it and granting it to people who, like Bill Clinton, to go and be able to create a government that is pushing us towards socialism and pushing us away from our constitutional principles. The Immigration and Citizenship Services, of course, you all know that. But how about the James Madison Memorial Fellowship Foundation? I'm glossing over these because these are important. And you need to understand that they've created these agencies that they have no constitutional founding. The John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, really? How about this one? The Merit System Protection Board. Do you believe that they actually have the constitutional powers of doing this? The Merit System Protection Board hears appeals from federal employees and studies federal merit system because they created such this leviathan that now they have this agency to try to create, because there's too many people that the federal government is employing in taking your money and managing unconstitutional things, period. How about the Millennium Challenge Corporation? Huh? The Migratory Bird Conservation Commission? Or have you ever heard of the Morris K. Udall and the Stuart L. Udall Foundation? You ever heard of them? You probably haven't, but you need to, and you need to find out what they're doing. And I'm going to tell you, the Morris K. Udall and Stuart L. Udall Foundation provides assessment, mediation, and other services to resolve environmental conflicts. The foundation also supports educational opportunities in the area of environmental policies. Seriously, folks, they have so many fingers in our knickers. That's why I tell you, every time you go to court, you go into a court system that has zero jurisdiction, you are almost guaranteed, because the federal government has no jurisdiction over any of these things. They've just usurped these. And if you go to court and you want to try to stand up, they recognize everything that they're doing is legitimate. How dare you think that they can't do these things? You need to start understanding the bigger picture and the problems that are coming from this. They have all sorts of national agencies. They have all sorts of military agencies. Now, I'm going to be the first one to tell you that there is a need for, you know, constitutional need for defense and so forth. But there is no need for things like OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. That has no place. That's a state issue. The states actually have their own. Why in the heck are they taxing us and employing and creating national standards? If we wanted national standards, we would amend the Constitution in doing so. It's the same thing for the Occupational Safety and Health Review Commission. How about the Ocean Energy Management Bureau? You need to go through these and you need to understand all of these different, they have a plethora of offices. I dare think that I could go through any of these, but some of these are kind of interesting, like the Office of Cuba Broadcasting. Now, we already know that there's the Voice of America and those types of things where we try to share ideas of liberty. But because the deep state has taken over, I really doubt that, you know, what is being broadcasted on the Voice of America or these other broadcasting agencies that they started to do and started to utilize, I don't think that these things are necessarily doing us any service because they're probably propagating all sorts of bad ideas. How about the Open World Leadership Center? Seems a little globalist, doesn't it? The Open World Leadership Center administers the Open World Program, a foreign exchange program that brings future leaders from former Soviet states to the United States to meet with members of Congress. I don't know why we're spending our tax dollar, your tax dollars, on these types of things. Postal Service, I completely get that. We need to have it's in the Constitution. It's one of those things that's actually in the Constitution. The President's Council on Fitness, Sports, and Nutrition. It's, you know, these things are noble. These things are literally nice to do. But when we're spending all the money on all of these agencies and all of a sudden Trump can't get the money he needs to build a secure border barrier in keeping unwanted illegals from violating our Constitution and taking our wealth away from us in entitlement states or in jobs and so forth, you've got to be kidding me. You have to be kidding me. That's why I said yesterday that you need to go to the whitehouse.gov. Go to the USA.gov. Start looking at some of these agencies and look at the understanding of whether these things are within the Constitution or not and start pointing them out to Trump. Get rid of this agency. Clearly, it's not constitutional. Excuse me. And you can have all the money necessary to building your wall 10 feet taller than you anticipated, 100 feet taller than he anticipated. If he starts shutting down unconstitutional agencies and starts calling them out as unconstitutional, how great would that be? I had a guy hit me up on Facebook just this morning that said, hey, wouldn't it be great if Trump just started, you know, actually, he pointed to my lecture, my presentation. He says, wouldn't it be great if Trump listened to that and then went over and actually had all of these people come, you know, Congress and so forth in front of him and says, look, all of these things are unconstitutional. We're standing them down. And oh, by the way, let's go have some lunch over at the White House. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and I need to get you more involved. So hopefully you will reclaim the Republic with me. God bless, and we'll be back tomorrow. More marketing, by the way. More marketing tomorrow. Bye.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review, so please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty.